Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is most certainly true. Jesus is alive and death is dead. His tomb is empty and our hearts are full. His promises are fulfilled. The victory has been won. Easter brings fullness and life and joy and meaning and hope into our lives and brings them in fullest measure. Our songs of Alleluia will never end. Join us to worship our risen Lord with this Easter sermon recently delivered at Grace.
The Gospel for Easter Day, Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. It is the basis for the sermon. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
A little girl clung to a branch high in a tree. In her excitement for climbing the tree, she had gotten just a little bit higher than was comfortable, and all she had to do was look down to the ground to see how far she might fall, and that was enough that she was seized with fear. She clung with a life grip to that nearest branch and cried out for her father. Of course, her father came running to the rescue. He was relieved to find that she was just scared and not hurt. But he still had to wait through the minutes of high-pitched screeching and cry-screaming. "Sweetie, sweetie, it's going to be okay. I'm here." "No, Daddy," she said. "Honey, you can do this. Take a deep breath. It's just like a ladder. Find a branch with your foot, put your weight on it, and then switch to the next, then do the same with your hands." "I can't do that, Dad. I'm too high." "Sweetie, trust me. I'm here, and if you slip, I will catch you, I promise." So she took that deep breath and found that branch with her foot. And just like Dad said, she didn't fall. Then the next one and the same, and her hands moved easily down the branches until she was close enough that she could leap into her father's arms. And it's there that her dad gave her that bear hug, wiped those tears from her rosy cheeks, kissed her on the forehead, and said, "I told you I would catch you." The young woman had only been married for 3 months. She was a student, and so that meant during the day she went to school and she worked the night shift to pay the bills for tuition and the bills around the house. And she was a planner. She always had her day planner with her. She always knew what was going to happen later that day, and the next week, and the next month, and she even had a 12-month vision for how her life should go. And she was always more comfortable when things went according to plan. But she held in her hand evidence that plans were going to have to change. The plus sign on the end of the pregnancy test wasn't in her plans for that day, and pregnancy wasn't in her plans for the next months, and it was all just a little bit overwhelming, and she began to shake, and she slumped down into a heap on the bathroom floor and began to sob. That's when her husband came home from work, heard the crying, sprinted upstairs, got down on the bathroom floor with her, looked her eye to eye, "Sweetie, what's the matter?" And before she had a chance to answer, he saw that pregnancy test out of the corner of his eye, and he picked her up and with a smile from ear to ear said, "Honey, this is great news. This is a blessing from God. We're going to do this together. You're a great wife, and you're going to be a great mother." Months later, when she held her newborn in her arms, her newborn son, for the first time, it was love at first sight. And her husband was there just like he promised, and he knelt down and put her chin in his hand and looked her in the eye and said, "You're already a great mom. I told you." It was an awful weekend. The worst that they could imagine. The one that they loved, the one that they had pinned their hopes on, was now gone, arrested under the cloud of darkness, sent through a phony trial, sentenced to death, and executed on a cross, placed in a tomb. All within 24 hours, the worst 24 hours that they could imagine. Yet they found the slightest and smallest glimmer of happiness in the fact that they could go and say a proper goodbye. And so the women set their alarm early for Sunday morning and gathered the spices that they would take to anoint Jesus' body. They would give him the proper burial that he deserved. Can you imagine the smile on the face of the angel when they got to deliver that message? You're in the wrong place for a somber goodbye. It's the gospel writer Luke who announces to us more of what the angel said. "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" they asked. The angel knew why they were there, and that's why it was with joy that he exclaimed, "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." It was 4 days earlier, less than 4 days earlier, that Jesus had made this appointment to meet in Galilee with his disciples. Yet it took them far less than 4 days to forget about it. Jesus said to them, "You all will fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Do you know why the disciples didn't remember? Do you know why they weren't waiting in Galilee for Jesus? Why they didn't camp out early Sunday morning in the garden tomb to see the spectacular show that Sunday certainly would have brought? It's because they had this nasty habit. This nasty habit of only listening to the first thing that Jesus had to say and kind of ignoring the rest. Like a third grader who stumbles over an assignment with two-part directions because they think they know what the assignment needs. They think they know what the teacher wants, and so they just busily, hurriedly get to their homework, get to doing the answers, and then it gets returned to them with half the problems marked wrong. You see, the disciples didn't always listen to the end. This is case in point. Jesus told them, "You'll fall away, I'll be struck, and then on the third day I'll rise from the dead." But how do they respond? "No, Jesus, we'll never fall away. Jesus, we would never leave you. Other followers, other weak followers might do that, but never us." Peter even said this, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Jesus, on more than a few occasions, gave his disciples and his followers the three-part outline of what it entailed, the job description of being the Savior of the world, what his future would bring. One example is from Matthew chapter 16. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. But what was their response to that one? Jesus, if that's where you're going to suffer, then don't go. Jesus, you can't go and die. We will protect you. We will be here with you. How is it that every single time Jesus told them what the future would bring, every single time that Jesus told them what he was here to do, and every single time he told them about the glorious ending of his ministry, the victory celebration that Easter would be, how is it that they never listened, not once? Good thing we have better hearing than the disciples. That's what we think, right? That's what we like to tell ourselves. But is it true? Easter changes our lives forever. The empty tomb means that Jesus lives, and it means that Jesus reigns. And if Jesus reigns, that means that he's got our life in his hands, and he's guiding and directing every path. And it means that we have an everlasting life in store in glory. Why is it? Why is it that we don't always live our lives with those truths on the forefront? Why is it that our lives look so different? Why is it that too often we live of the world, not just in the world? Why is it that we put our trust in our employment status, in the number of dollars in our bank account, in the amount of power that we're able to wield at work, at home, amongst our friends? Why is it that we think that hope is found in elections won and governments run the way that we think they should be? Is it because Jesus hasn't been clear with us? Is it because Jesus has left us to try to figure out a surprise ending? Of course not. But it is because sometimes we stop listening. It is because we don't always hear him out to the end, and it is because we forget the things that he has said or treat them like those are Bible history truths, but this is real life. Just like the disciples, we deserve God's wrath and punishment. Just like the disciples, we are frail followers, selfish sinners, prideful people. Just like them, we deserve to have a stone rolled in front of our tombs. We deserve to be separated from our God forever. But my friends, keep listening. Listen till the end. Yes, life has its share of pain. There will be toil and trial for us to endure. Yes, sin muddies and mars our lives and leaves behind its curse. But listen till the end. Jesus came to walk the path of suffering in our place. Jesus was willing to allow your sins and my sins to muddy and mar his perfect life. He was willing even to bear the curse that should have been ours. He was willing to shed his innocent blood so that God the Father could declare us to be not guilty. And what God the Father declares is the way it is. That's the way it goes. You are forgiven, just like he told you. Hear the Savior, Jesus, with his own lips speak words of promise to you. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Hear your Savior Jesus remind you that Easter is not just about new life for him, but new life for you when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Believe in his promise of protection and his promise of his presence no matter what this world might bring. When your walk through life is smooth and the path is smooth, or when there's bumps in the road, in sickness or in health, when life is easy or when it's really tough, when tragedy strikes, especially remember his promise. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And then hear the words of comfort that your Savior Jesus inspired other Bible writers to speak. Recognize the joy that is ours when we remember, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Rejoice in the simplicity, yet the profound nature of the words, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let your heart be filled with joy, along with the psalmist who said, I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Every single word of Jesus is true and has come true, just like he said. Every single loving promise has been fulfilled in him and by him, just like he said. Victory is yours, just as he told you, and more than that, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus chose to allow an angel to speak the first Easter sermon. And so he sat on an empty tomb pulpit and proclaimed an empty tomb message, and it was the best Easter sermon that has ever been preached. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter. And that Easter sermon has been preached over and over for 2,000 years. And my friends, it never gets old. Jesus is alive. Come and see. Then go and tell. Come and see the empty tomb. Come and see the place where they laid him. Come and see the burial cloth neatly folded on that slab. Come and see the evidence that sins are forgiven. Come and see that your enemies have been destroyed. Come and see that death is dead. Then go and tell. Go and tell your loved ones that there is life after death. Go and tell your friends that Jesus is the one who turns wailing into dancing. Go and share the news with whoever you can that every promise and prediction that Jesus made came true, just as he told us. Celebrate that fact that because the tomb is empty, that means we have hearts that are full of hope and peace and joy and love in fullest measure, and that no one can take away. Share the great and glorious news that heaven is our eternal home, a place of never-ending happiness, completeness, and joy. This, my friends, is the gift of grace that is ours in Jesus' resurrection, just as he told you. Alleluia. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about God's grace, or to support the work that we do to proclaim the love of Jesus in Milwaukee and around the world, visit www.gracedowntown.org. This grace is for you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.